Father, I worship you. Pray publicly that prophetic prayer that's dropping in my spirit. As you added to the first church, Lord, add to your church. We pray for them. We look upon the field, we say it's ripe, all ready to harvest. Father, our hearts have been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the love of God. This we pray without fear, not of an acclamation of boldness within ourselves, but by the very Spirit of God that lives within us, brings forth the prophetic of your prayer. Send us, Lord, bring into this house the blind, the maimed, the halt. Bring into this house, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, the families of the earth, those who believe that they're all together. Bring into this place the homosexual. Bring into this place the lesbian. Bring into this place the dope addict. Bring into this place the drug dealer. Bring into this place the one that is tormented and several times every week contemplates suicide. Bring into this house, Lord God, the women who have forsaken children, the men who have forsaken children. Bring into this house, Lord, those who've terminated their children. Bring into this house, Lord God, all those of the earth, that there may be healing. Bring into this house, Lord, the witches, the warlocks of this region, not as a challenge of our power, but as a conviction of the Holy Spirit. The glory of God, the voodoo. We pray, God, that many members of the voodoo society, what have they over us? Father, we pray for their salvation. We pray for the drug lords of our streets, the prostitutes. Father, in the name of Jesus, this prayer goes far beyond this moment, far beyond. Father, in the name of Jesus, shake and stir this house with the power of heaven. Let your glory and the Holy Spirit and the power of angels sweep through this place. Lord, keep us from silly doctrines, from doctrines of the flesh, and things of men's visions in which there is but fables in those things, Lord God. But teach us these things, the blood of Jesus, the power of the cross, the risen Lord, and the power of the Holy Spirit. We refuse the worship of angels. We refuse the worship of saints. We refuse these things, but God, we tie ourselves ever so tight to the power of your blood. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We exalt you. Deliver this house from fables. Deliver this house from self-proclaimed prophets and those who think they have a word to speak in darkness and those who will not speak but behind closed doors. Shut their tongues, Lord, but let your voice be heard. Let it be a simple voice of the gospel of power, the gospel that you left with the first church. Lord, let all those who are suppose themselves to be spiritual in this, that they lead a quiet and peaceable life in the power of the Holy Spirit and speak that which is truth in the love of God and create no reputation for themselves, but only speak that which is kindly, affectionate one to another, building each other up in the Holy Ghost as we see the day of the Lord quickly approaching. Father, we pray that these things will be in the fire of our midst, Lord God. Let your glory burn within us. Let self-proclaimed voices be extinguished from us. Let those who would claim their own glory find that they have no popularity, they have no favor, they have no voice, but only your glory. Only your glory. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Power of the cross. Let many demoniacs, those that are possessed with devils and tormented, let them find a clear path to sanity. Father, let the mother that is depressed, cannot keep her home, cannot watch over her children, who's become an invalid to narcotics, prescription drugs. Father, I thank you that you heal us, and you healed us again at the cross, one time at the end of the world. I thank you, Lord, you cause us to stand up upright. That, Lord, you vanquish excuses, powerless excuses of why we cannot, and you cause us to run in by the blood of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, that you cause us to love one another as you have loved us. You bring us into that love without excuse, without partiality. I refuse to love any man in this place, any woman in this place, more than someone else. You have chosen equity in our hearts, equality one for another. We cast down the spirits, click spirits, spirits of clubs, and spirits who would entangle certain ones to each other. Father, we will not. We refuse it in the name of Jesus. The spirit of witchcraft, if there be such a thing as Christian witchcraft, which is a misnomer, but Father, those things which we speak over other people's lives, let us speak truth, life, and peace all the days of our life. We bring into effect. We call this the house of God. Father, Immokalee is blessed. Thousands and thousands born again in this revival. We exalt you. We exalt you. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. How many of you love the Lord this morning? Just lift your hands. We magnify you, Jesus. We glorify you. We thank you, Father, for everyone that is listening to us through the internet or will be listening in the days ahead. We thank you for the thousands and thousands being born again and those lives that are being affected. We glorify you and we exalt you. We thank you because we have nothing of ourselves to give. Father, we have nothing of ourselves, no glory to give of ourselves, but we thank you that it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, Father, we just ask you, okay? That's where I put it. Would you agree with me right now? Acts chapter 19, they prayed over prayer cloths. Aprons and handkerchiefs and things went from the Apostle Paul's body. You're not the Apostle Paul, no, but we all should be walking in the image of Christ. Why doesn't the churches fill up? Why are they on a steady decline? Because there is no power. Well, the greatest power is being born again. I understand that, but listen, all the other was part of that inheritance. And if you can show me, if you can show me where it passed away, then I'll stop preaching the power of the Holy Ghost, that it passed away, and that you could still see the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead being raised, and demoniacs being set free. See, the only thing is you can't show me that. And it's still there. And the power of it is still there. So listen. If he could born you again, if he could save you, then he can also heal you. But if he can't heal you, he can't rebirth you either. If he can't heal you today, then you're destined to hell. Why? Because they're one and the same. They go hand in hand. He can't heal today. He's not doing that today. Well, then he's not saving today. But I believe when I pray over this cloth, the power of God, a woman with brain cancer, she needs a miracle. Doctors are going to do what they can tomorrow. Would you stretch your faith this way? Father, in the name of Jesus, we're not timid concerning this thing, but rather we speak in the name of Jesus and we curse this damnable thing which Satan has come with. We command that in the name of Jesus, that the life of God and the power of God Begin to right now through our very words, even before this thing is taken to her, that Lord, that it begin in the name of Jesus, a reconstruction, that which was birthed at the cross through the power of your blood. Father, we release now in the name of Jesus. Your glory and everything that you are, we release by your power, and we curse this damnable thing. This thing will not kill her, but rather, Father, we call it extracted out of her body. Let every cell be cursed in that place. In Jesus' name, I pray that a true revelation of who you are as the healer and the manifestation of your healing will be made manifest to her. And we release it now in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us this morning? Would you just take a few moments to greet one another before we do anything else? And hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Sorry I'm not able to see everyone, but I'm so glad all of you are here. And I appreciate you being here. Praise God. God bless. Amen. So we love you all. We really do. And we just count it a privilege that you're here this morning. And we just want to bless you in the Spirit. Let's turn to, let's see, where could we turn to? Oh, what are we teaching? Scarcely be saved. Amen. That's in 1 Peter, isn't it? Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What an anointing. 1 Peter chapter 4. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stretch your faith this way and pray for me? And I'd appreciate it so much. It's just a wonderful anointing. We want to hear Him, listen, receive His power. Father, we worship you. We have no agenda except yours. Then we have no... have no power except yours to perform your grace. We thank you, Father, for the harvest, all that is coming. Thank you for it, Father. All that is coming forward. Let us follow you in Christ, through Him, the Holy Spirit. We bless those that are here this morning. Father, we pray they'll take something, that they'll be filled. The power of your gospel will be preached. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I'm not sure. I think this is week 6 of a series that we've been teaching on what we've entitled Scarcely Be Saved. So if you're here with us this morning, or if you're listening by the internet, you've already turned, or if you haven't turned, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 17 and 18. We'll cover that just for a moment, and then we'll go into a number of other scriptures, or maybe one or two other scriptures, but we have something I believe very powerful to say this morning. Last week, we wound up by the last part of the service. We were reading some documents, some Old Testament, or some documents actually that are not from the Bible, but are actually historical data, because we were talking about actually what backs up 1 Peter, the first 1 Peter, those 5 chapters, and the often mentions of suffering in those chapters. But let me get to these verses that you've turned to so I don't leave you hanging there. It says, verse 17, for the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous, everybody say, that's me. If I'm born again, you say that. If I'm born again, that's me. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Now, just a quick synopsis. When he says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, We broke down that word over several weeks. It's not saying that word scarcely is not the word barely or hardly. It is the word critical. Meaning this, that the Lord Jesus Christ in this verse is telling us this, the church, through Peter. The time has come, the first verse we read, and that's a dispensation, that's a time in history, and that began with Jesus Christ, and now it proceeds, and it really grows, if you understand Scripture, the closer he gets, the more it grows momentum, the more he's wanting to do what he's about to say to us. The time has come when he must deal scarcely with his church. Well, the scarcely means doesn't mean that if you've been born again, that one day you're saved and the next day you're not, or that the blood of Jesus hardly can keep you. But what it's saying is that he deals scarcely, or he deals critically with his church. If you become his, he's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to leave you alone. And he doesn't want you to be left alone. And I'm not talking about just comforting you. He's going to grow you up. And the reason why he's going to grow you up is that we had a lot of drama for the first 4 weeks, and this is 6 weeks or so. And what we've done is we brought young people up here, play actors like Jade, and we taught on different things. And we said, look, we had a group of them. We had like salvation, and some of them stepped out of that group. And the word says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where does the sinner and the ungodly appear? Well, the reason why it says appear is because it's wanting to bring your thoughts to an appearance process. Like, this is what God wants in the earth. He wants an appearance or a testimony of appearance in the earth so that there's a separation. And what he's saying there is this, is God wants a separation in his church so that there is an appearance before the world so he can get them saved. And the problem is this, up until this point, there really has been no separation. The church at large basically lives just like the world. If the world sleeps around, the church sleeps around. If the world is involved in this, there is basically, that whole message is this, God wants a separation so the world looks up and says, they're different. They're different. And in that difference though, see, we've done I'm not talking about you, the clergy, the pulpit people have done a horrible job of selling, if you want to put it in secular terms, this club. It's not a club, it's a family. But we've not told our young people or our people coming in, there's a price to be paid. You're crossing a bloodline. The rewards are beyond comparison. The peace and the joy and the tranquility and the happiness that can abide in your family. But you've got to understand something. Once you cross that bloodline, you're not like the world anymore. And you can't bar around. You can't sleep around. You can't do that anymore. Well, I want to. Well, then you've got a choice to make. But once you make that choice, guess what? The riches of heaven are part of that choice. And there's truly a separation that needs to be, that we've sold them, like, come on in and time will tell. And if you don't make, you're going to be okay anyway. That is not the message of the gospel. Now, it's not a hard message like God doesn't love them. You heard the prophetic prayer, and I didn't make that up this morning thinking about this sermon. We want them in here. But we want them in here so they can change. Mr. Homosexual, Miss Lesbian, Miss, you know, whoever, forsaken of this, forsaken of that. You know, you've got 6 or 8 families out there, sir. We want you in here. But guess what? We want you to change. Because he wants you to change. And that's the essence of this gospel, this teaching. Now, here's the deal. 16 times in 1 Peter, he continually talks about suffering. And the suffering is a result of you making that decision to say no. But guess what? also coupled with all those decisions to say no, there's a persecution, there's a suffering, but it also is a suffering also that comes of not just outside sources, but inside sources, because the word says here in 1 Peter, in which we've read in weeks gone by, is that he that has ceased from sin has suffered in the flesh. Meaning this, it's not just an outside persecution, but once you begin to walk a walk of choice and decision, God gives you time. He doesn't jerk you up. He gives you time to change. He gives you the Holy Ghost to change. He gives you the Word of God to make those choices. But as you go forward, choices have to be made. And as you're saying no to the past and no to the flesh, and it's not gritting your teeth, furrowing your brow, and making some statement like, I'm not going to do this, and living in agony. Listen, it's one thing for a guy to say, I'm going to keep my eyes on my own paper. When I ride down the street and I know I can see in the peripheral, she ain't got much on. It's one thing to discipline yourself and say, not going to do it. That's one thing. The greater thing is this, is when something has been pulled out of you so strong that even your natural, because God doesn't make you a zombie, but even when your natural senses are there, there's nothing gnawing and pulling and struggling on the inside. Why? Because you made those choices through the power of the Holy Spirit, and change is inevitable. Hallelujah. Change is inevitable. And we've not sold that change, and we've not told our teenagers, and we've not told our children. So they see this as a weak gospel. It's a weak gospel. But how weak was it to the first church? Last week, we read some memoirs. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit how far I should go this morning, because I want us to go to a place in Hebrews. We've come to a crossroads, amazing enough, in our teaching on Wednesday nights, teaching on faith, and on our Sunday morning, teaching on scarcely should be saved, in which the Holy Spirit has got us at an intersection at a certain part in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6. But this morning, last week, we read something from the past. And when you're reading something from antiquity, when you're reading something in the first century, so oftentimes it's easy for us to think those guys lived so long ago that they weren't even real. But this morning, I want you to kind of put yourself in a place like if we were reading, and these are actual documents. They're in libraries. They're in ancient history libraries. And I want you to set yourself in an environment like, what if these were men in our church? What if these were ladies in our church? Last week, we read some documents from the correspondence between a man named Pliny, which was a governor of Asia Minor. Now, Asia Minor was the place that Peter starts his gospel off in chapter 1, when he starts talking about the strangers that are scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Those five different places were a region made up of what is commonly called Asia Minor. This correspondence was coming out of Asia Minor a little bit later than the actual writing of 1 Peter. And we read it last week. We read it in its entirety. We won't read it this week, but I just want to remind you of a couple things that we read last week in this writing, is that in this governor's writing, this Pliny to this man that was the emperor of Rome at the time, Trajan, T-R-A-J-A-N, he's superseded, or he's after Nero. Nero was the one that killed Paul, and he's the one that killed Peter. Peter died at 64 A.D., 67 A.D., and this governor is writing this man, and he says, look, I'm bringing all these so-called Christian, I don't know what to do with them. And he's asking, what do I do with them? He says, up to this point, I've just put them to the sword. They're causing confusion in the kingdom, and not knowing what to do with them, the last verdict is I just put them to the sword. What do you say? And the amazing part of what we read is that he gave them room to repent. And he says a few times in it, I'm asking you to repent. In other words, not repent into Christ, but repent out of Christ. come out of Christ. Now, one of the things that most interesting in all that was this, is that we found that he said to this emperor, he said, the ones that we have found to be truly Christians, we cannot get them to repent. They will not do that. Those ones who are so-called or by name only, when we threaten them with death, they will repent. Now, I found something else that I want to read to you this morning because I think it's awful special. And I can't do it justice because I will murder these men's names. But I want to read to you, if I read to you this correspondence of the Christians of the great fire in Rome in 64 AD. I hate to do this because I really like my hands free, but I know I don't want to make you miserable. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you believe our mic is fixed? Otto's got one in the mail, and I believe it's here today, in Jesus' name. Thank you. All right. I want you to enjoy it. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is good. This is the Acts of the Skeleton Martyrs. I want you to think of this as men that you can think of in this room. I'd put ladies in here too, but they weren't part of this at that time. But you'll think of Rex and Homer and Marty and Matt and Ralph and these different guys. I wish their names were that because I wouldn't have a hard time pronouncing them. The Skeleton Martyrs were condemned and executed at Carthage on the 17th of July, A.D., 180. The 17th of July. That's coming up pretty soon, isn't it? Except this was in 180 A.D. The martyrs belonged to Scylla, a place that was in the part of Numida, which belonged to the proculator of Africa. When Pranus, now this is a correspondence, this guy recorded this or got it firsthand, and this was a dialogue that took place. Why are we doing this? One, because I want you to understand, again, what kind of suffering that these first Christian church people were going through. But how does that relate to scarcely be saved? They were making a choice when Peter was saying to them, come out from among them. It's going to cost you suffering. It wasn't just costing them suffering from the imperial government, which was Rome. It did. Eventually, it cost many of them their lives. But we found out from 1 Peter is that they were also being ostracized by their friends in the world. The 1 Peter says this, wherefore they think it strange that you do not run with them anymore, meaning this. They think it strange that you don't go to, and it says strange concerning banqueting, reveling, wine, basically partying. They think it strange, the world and people in the world and even your family, he could have been speaking to them. He was saying they think it strange. So the persecution was twofold. It was not only from the imperial government, but it was from sinners. And it was from people that, and he says, they think it's strange that you don't run with them anymore. And I said this, and you know this, is really the 21st century church doesn't think it's strange anymore. Because if you want to drink, I'll drink with you. Well, I thought you were a deacon in the church. I am, but it's not Sunday today. It's Saturday night. So there was a persecution that was taking place in a tremendous way. And this is coming from the imperial part of it. And it says this. This guy wrote this down, this dialogue that's taking place. When Pranus, for the second time, and Claudius were the consuls on the 17th day of July at Carthage, there were set in the judgment hall, and I'm going to try some of these names, Separatus. You can think of this. This guy separated himself. Separatus, Nartazilus, Citinus, Donatus, Secunda,
Vesta or Vesta and Saturnius. Saturnius, think of Saturn, that's just how it's spelled. Saturnius, the proconsul, said, "You can win the indulgence of our Lord the Emperor if you return to a sound mind." Separatus said, "We have never done evil or done ill. We have not lent ourselves to wrong. We have never spoken ill, but when ill-treated, we have given thanks because we pay heed to our emperor." Saturnius, the proconsul, said, "We too are religious, and our religion is simple. We swear by the genius of our Lord, the emperor, and pray for his welfare, as ye also ought to do." Separatus said, "If thou wilt peaceably lend me thine ear, I can tell thee the mystery of simplicity." Saturnius said, "I will not lend my ears to thee when thou beginnest to speak evil things of our sacred rites, but rather swear thou by the genius of our Lord the Emperor." Separatus said, The empire of this world I know not, but rather I serve that God in whom no man hath seen, nor these eyes can see. I have committed no theft, but if I have bought anything, I pay the tax, because I know my Lord, the King of Kings and the Emperor of all nations." Saturninus, the proconsul, said to the rest, "Cease to be of this persuasion." Separatus said, "It is an ill persuasion to murder, to speak false witness." Saturninus said, the proconsul said, "Be not partakers of this folly." Satinus said, "We have none other to fear save only our Lord God who is in heaven." Donata said, "Honor to Caesar as honor, but fear to God." Now, this really went on, okay? This was really happening. But imagine it like you know these guys. Saturninus, the proconsul, said to Separatus, "Dost thou persist in being a Christian?" And Separatus said, "I am a Christian." And with him, they all agreed. Saturninus, the proconsul, said, will you have a space to consider?" Separatus said, "In a matter so straightforward, there is no considering." Saturninus, the proconsul, said, "What are the things in your chest?" I wish I had that chest out here. It's that little chest that we put all our names in that we pray for people. So this guy is having this dialogue with, I think there's six or seven of these guys. And he says, what's in that box? What's in that chest? He says, what things are in your chest? And Separatus said, "Books and epistles of Paul, a just man." Saturninus, the proconsul, said, "Have a delay of 30 days and bethink yourself." Separatus said the second time, "I'm a Christian," and with him they all agreed. Saturninus, the proconsul, said, or read out of the decree from the tablets. Separatus, Nardizalus, Satinus, Donata, Vestus, Secunda, and the rest, having confessed that they live according to the Christian life, since after opportunity offered them of returning to the customs of the Romans, they have obstinately persisted. It is determined that they must be put to the sword. Separatus said, "We give thanks to God." Nardizalus said, "Today we are martyrs in heaven. Thanks be to God." Saturninus, the proconsul, ordered it to be declared by the herald Separatus, Nardizalus, Satinus, Veturus, Felix, Aquilus, Latinus, on and on and on. There's about six more, three, four, five more, four more. Genoserus, Vestius, Donata, Secunda. I have ordered to be executed. And they all said, this is what they all said, thanks be to God. And so they all together were crowned with martyrs, and they reigned with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost forever. Amen. Praise God. Now I think this, and some people will say, well, you're wrong. I think the 2013 church would say this under those situations. Let's just say we do, and we'll repent later. Because that's the church today. I'll do it tonight, and I'll repent in the morning. Well, I'd give my life for him, would you? If you can't live it, you won't give it. Now, I can imagine myself dying. I can imagine him putting my eyes out. I can imagine him killing me. I can imagine that, and I believe that I could. The hard thing would be able to see them take a granddaughter or a grandson, which they did, and physically abuse them in front of you until you were ready to repent. And you could think like this, I'll repent, and I'll take them, and then when I get outside, I'll say, Jesus, forgive me. Listen, the spirit that was alive then and that is alive in the church that Peter was saying, you must separate yourself from this world. There is no going back. It says this, I have one home. I have one Lord. This world is not my home. I'm turning all things away. I cannot publicly deny him. Jesus said, if you deny me, I will deny you before your Father, which is in heaven. Well, Pastor, thank God it'll never get to that again. Well, you don't know that. But this message is not about eschatology. It's not about end times. It's not even about whether or not you're ready to do those kinds of things. We're far from that. So far from that. But where are we? Well, let's look at Hebrews chapter, I'm going to guess, I think it's 5. Don't you know, Pastor, I kind of go by images because I know where I meditate. While you're getting to 5, if you're turning back from Peter, stop at chapter 10. Because these guys were also going through the same kind of persecution. Look at chapter 10. He says in verse 32, but I want to call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were enlightened, illuminated, that means born again, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly because you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions. That's these things that I'm talking about that we just read. While you became also, and partly because you became the companions of those that were so used. In other words, a lot of you went through persecution as a result of your testimony, and then others were persecuted just because you hung around people that were really being used by God. And he said this, for you had compassion on me and my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience that after that you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now let's go to where I ask you to go to, chapter 5. We were here last week. Actually, we were in chapter 6. But we're going to look at chapter 5 for just a moment, the latter part of it. Look at verse 7. He says this, speaking of Christ, that in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, that's Christ, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say. Now watch this part. Listen to this. And this is where we were at. Some of this was Wednesday night. And he just has me here, and I've got to go back to it. He says, we have many things to say, but They're hard to be uttered. I can't say them. Why? Seeing that you're dull of hearing. Now, this dull means this. Something has made you reverse what you once knew, and now you can't even hear it. Slow to understanding in the Greek. Slow to understanding. In other words, it has regressed your process of revelation. Slow to understanding. He says this in verse 12. Look at it. And when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and you've become such as has need of milk and strong, not strong meat. Now, what are, he says this, you've become, he said like this, by this time, you should have been as disciples. In other words, once you get born again and cross that line and you're over here in the world, and for the first 6 months, you're just a baby. But if you go to a church like this, and if you go to a place where people love you, they don't condemn you, but they love you and say, you know, you got to change. Well, I've been moody all my life. I know, darling, but you got to change. Well, I've had this addiction all my life. I know, you know what? He saved you. Aren't you glad he saves us right where we're at? He just saves us right where we're at. That's wonderful. But he says, come on, keep following me. Because as you are, you're going to grow into a separation. Why? Because the family that you left behind, they need to look at you and say, you know what? Daddy's different. Mama's different. They've been changing. They not only said they were born again, they act like they're born again. They're actually going through this process. But he says, at this time, this is what the Hebrew writer says, at this time you ought to be teachers, but you have need that somebody teach you again the oracles of God. Well, what are the oracles of God? What are the principles of the oracles of God? You don't have to go far, and I don't have to make them up. Thank God he just listed them there in chapter 6. Obviously, there's no chapter 5 and 6. That's not how it's written. But he just tells us what those principles are. He said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying. Everybody say, not laying. Not laying again the foundation of repentance. He lists them here. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from what? Dead works. What is dead works? Well, one, to the Hebrews, dead works were this. Coming out of the old, coming into the new. How many of you know the law never perfected anybody? Animal sacrifice never perfected anybody. So anything that they tried to do to try to get God's perfection until they were born again. And so this is really the born again message. Repentance out of the old, repentance to God, faith towards God. He wasn't just talking about mountain moving faith there. He's talking about faith where you actually become a born again believer. Now let me ask you this. If these are the principles and these are the oracles of God, in other words, these are the foundation, what's more important than that? There's nothing. In fact, when he starts this and he says leaving, verse 1, he says leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, he is not saying forsaking them. Now, I did a word study on this, but also contextually by reading it and like we meditate, he's not saying, look, the things I'm about to list, they're milk. So we can say, got those, got them under my belt. He's saying this. The word leaving comes from a word apo, which means to come out of or to come from a place. In other words, okay, there's 10 single digits that make up all the numeric system. All of them are vitally important. But where do you have to start with? What's the first digit? What? 0, 1. No. 0. 0 is ground level. 0 is most important in a certain sense because that's where you start out. And he's saying leaving, when he's saying leaving, he's not saying that's so simple that we're just going to brush it aside. He's saying you must leave it as launch. In other words, this is ground 0, the blood of Jesus, the works of Christ, the love of God, which is in salvation, that's ground zero. You have to lead, you have to stand on that, and you have to build on that before I can go into anything else. I have to understand who I am in Christ. I have to appreciate all those things that are there in Christ. Now, let's say, for instance, I'm going to pick on Matt and Maria. Let's say, for instance, Matt and Maria start a Bible study on Tuesday nights. And they invite people out to their acreage. And I've been out there a few times. I don't know if it's changed. It's a journey. Matt makes a journey every Sunday. It takes about 15, 20 minutes or more to get back in there. He's got a lot of acreage, but the road is like this, washboard. But he's going to start a study on, what are you going to do? I'm inviting the church. Anybody wants to come, come. What are you teaching on? What deep things are you teaching on? We're going to teach on the blood of Jesus. Oh, my. That's wonderful. But I understand the blood of Jesus. Listen, what things he's listing here, I'll read them for you. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection. In other words, take what you have. Let that bring forth a perfecting in your life, not laying the foundation again of the repentance of dead works, faith towards God, the doctrine of baptism, and laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So he's saying this, those things are basic, but those things are the very thing that if you do them, then you will begin to launch out of a place where those things are being perfected in your life. And what he was saying was this. He was saying, look, whereas up until this point, because you've been in Christ 10 years or 5 years or 4 years, and these things have been presented to you, up to this point, you should be able to regurgitate. You should be able to give out to others. But because you're not doing these things, you've become dull of hearing and have reversed the process to now, rather than being a teacher and talking about, well, what things? Deep things. What things? He was saying this, the principles, the oracles of God, because you have not done them, you've actually reverted back to a place that when you could have been perfected. Let's say, for instance, I was using Matt and Maria. Let's say they started a Bible study. If they're teaching on the blood, do you know that just that first oracle, it's not saying that that is milk. It's saying that those who have not went into it and understood it and taught it and been perfected by it, when they don't do it, it becomes milk to them. It becomes something to them that has no power to them, even though they may have understood it one time. Let's say they say, we're going to teach on the blood of Jesus for a year. Do you know you could teach on the blood of the cross? Thanks. You could teach on those things for years and years. The born-again trail. You could start with Abel and talk about the blood and the power of that blood. Why? Because the blood is the thing that it's the image of that blood that begins to change your concept of who you are and who others are. Well, I understand it, Pastor. Really? What does he say again? He says this. When for the time you ought to be teachers, in other words, giving out, you have need that one teach you again. In other words, they got to come back. Can you imagine us having to bring Dave Roberson in here, who wrote the book on praying in tongues, and say, Dave, what's the problem? Well, I don't understand praying in tongues anymore. Why? Well, you got to be taught again. Why? He says this, you have need again, one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle God, and you've become, in other words, they metamorphosized, they knew it, but they metamorphosized or went back into such a place. They had such a place of a need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby or a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age, even those who by reason of use. Everybody say use. In other words, what he was saying is, because you haven't used what you know, it becomes milk to you. But if you use these first oracles, then you become perfected by it, the revelation of who the blood, what the blood of Jesus has done for you. You begin to understand, well, I can't forgive them, Pastor. Really? Yeah, I can't forgive them. He cheated on me, and I can't forgive him. She cheated on me, and I can't forgive him. Listen, I'm not talking about light things. But let's just think about this. Let's take before Christ, and then we'll talk about after Christ. If you go to this Bible study, and for a year you exhaust, and for 2 years you exhaust, what does that blood mean? Well, I can tell you, first of all, what that blood means. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Your old has been done away with. But what he was saying to these who have not separated themselves, they have not come out, they do not have the revelation of who they are. Therefore, not only can they not be teachers, they can't even give out, and they've actually regressed to a place that what they've even known, they don't know anymore. That's what he's saying. Well, he cheated. I hate him. She cheated. I hate him. Well, let me suggest something to you. Get in the car by yourself. Drive out to a local cemetery. Walk that graveyard until you find a gravestone with no name on it, if you can find one, or you can't even recognize the name. Stand there and imagine that as the spouse, if they're born again, and just cuss them for everything they're worth, that you think they're worth, if that makes you feel better. But in the end, the benignness of that and the emptiness of that is the same thing, because if your spouse or the person that you're blaming for anything in this life has been born again and they've come out of it, they're just as dead as that corpse that's laying in the ground. Old things are passed away. Well, Pastor, it was after Christ. Listen, if, you know, most people nowadays don't know what true repentance is. True repentance means you don't do it anymore. But if you truly repent, I can tell you this, it's the same way. You can sit there and know this, that that person in your life that you're blaming for something, if they have truly focused their eyes on Christ, they're just as dead as that corpse in the ground. And I can tell you this, what'll set you free understanding the blood of Jesus is this: look at the grave next to you, because that's your grave, because you're supposed to be just as dead in Christ as every corpse laying there. Your life has changed. Your life has changed. Well, why is there no separation in the church? Because he says you've forgotten the oracles of God. You need, like, because you're not doing them, you're like somebody has to come and teach you again. What are the, well, Pastor, I'm believing God for my family. I'm believing God for my son and my daughter. Really? Well, why don't you come to church? Why is it, you know, we see you once every little bit? Well, Pastor, I'm offended a little bit, really. Who are you offended at? Well, I'm a little bit hurt, Pastor. God bless you. Really? Yeah, who are you hurt at? Well, you've hurt me a couple times, Pastor. Really? How long have you been saved? 10 years, 15 years. You've hurt me a couple. Or I'm hurt with the other guy next. Listen. You forgot. What did you forget? You forgot the blood of Jesus. The first principles of the oracles of God, you have forgotten. You have forgotten that your old man has been, it's been redeemed, and you've forgotten that you're so forgiven, now you can forgive others, and now you can make that separation. God is, he's scarcely dealing with your life. You can step out and say, look, I don't have to place on Facebook or somebody hear me say, look, I hate them. Well, aren't you a born-again believer? Yeah, but I hate them. And the world wants to go that way? The world wants to follow your... And guess what? I hate to say this. Man, this is really meddling. If you've let those old things stay there, the prayer for your family, you better hope somebody else besides you is praying for them. You better hope somebody's praying for your son or daughter besides you. That's just good preaching. But the separation is not there. But the Holy Spirit is saying, look, don't forget these first principles, because they're ground zero. And if they're ground zero, you build on the blood, and it makes us into a place where we separate ourselves from the world, even when hurts come, and they will, and you have to deal with them. Even when different disappointments come, you understand that the blood of Jesus, the baptism, these doctrines that he's saying, the baptism of the old man becoming a new man, you understand those, and because of that result, you're separating yourself from the world, and they're watching you, and they're saying, They're different. They're not like us. Their joys are in someplace else. Everything about their life, they're not walking around. They're different. Listen, he wants a church that's different. He's wanting a church that is so filled with his glory that he's able to come immediately and pick us up. He's wanting a church that is, and believe me, I'm with you, I'm understanding this, but he's wanting a church that's so separated. We're not dependent. We're not dependent on the financial institutions of this world. God meets all of our needs according to his riches and glory. He wants us so independent by his glory that we're not dependent on the doctors of this world. We are free, and all these oracles that we're standing on, we're not having somebody to have to come behind us and say, look, I don't understand this. Does this really work, Pastor? Listen, when you've been in the church 10 years and you're wondering if it still works, guess what? You're not doing it. You're just not doing it. But when you do it, does it work? Absolutely so. Praise be to God. How many are glad? And this is the separation in these days. Listen, he wants the very best for you. He wants everything to work out in your life, but he's calling us to a place where we're saying, look, so where's this message? What is this message this morning? It's doing the things that we have known always to do. Hallelujah. And the world, if we spend our time, if we allow the Holy Spirit to baptize us and we spend our time in the Word and in prayer, guess what? There will be a place of such separation where the world looks at us and says, they are different. They are different. They're actually different, but they're a happy bunch. They're a peculiar bunch. They won't have you coming in on Monday morning saying, and when they're over there talking about, did you see that movie? Yeah, I saw it. And they're thinking, and you're saying, I like this part and I like that part. Well, you didn't bring up the 10 dirty parts. You didn't bring it. I won't say yes. I've stopped asking Christians too much about what you think about that movie. Because when I have to leave after the fifth or sixth F word or GD word, I'm thinking, where was the Holy Ghost inside of them? What was he saying? I mean, I don't even like to go there where I'm comparing myself to somebody else. So I'm like, the way I check it nowadays is kids in mind. Because if you tell me it's okay, and I'm thinking, you really liked it after all those F words? Man, Pastor, you're just teaching downright old, like, holiness stuff, aren't you? Isn't that what we're supposed to be walking in truth? I mean, my God, where's the Holy Ghost when all that stuff comes in your home and you're sitting there? Doesn't he just kind of, like, nauseate you a little bit? Like, ugh. Hallelujah. If we do those things, we will grow into a church that is separated from the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Did I take up the offering yet? Oh, God. I should have. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? And you sat here through the heat with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. If we know who turned that up this morning, we would burn them at the stake, even after that wonderful message. Hallelujah. Would you ask the Lord to just speak to your hearts this morning what he'd have you to give? I'd appreciate it so much. Believe me that this is a time where we would appreciate everything that you hear from the Lord. And in your giving, we worship you. Father, we thank you for your great grace. We thank you for the love of God. We thank you for the power of God. We thank you for the goodness of God, which is in our hearts, in our minds. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, baptize those among us having need of the Holy Spirit. Lord, those who have need and those that have need in their bodies, we pray that, Lord, that any of that that's necessary this morning to be prayed for will be prayed for. Father, I commit this hour and time into you, and I bless you and I bless this offering in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Olivia, please. Thank you. We appreciate it. Hallelujah. How many are ready to give this morning? How many enjoy today? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. If you have a need in your body, when you bring this up, or if you don't have anything to bring up, and if you need prayer in any way, we'll be up here for a few moments. Please come and see us, because we do believe in the power of miracles. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together this morning. Praise the Lord. We appreciate you coming. Give somebody a great big hug and tell them have a blessed day. God bless you.